profits, and that after all, it may work out for the best. This is what I would hope would happen over a period of time, but it's just like the press is undoubtedly trying to get two batty roosters into the ring, cutting away at each other.
I think that you ought to talk to Russell Hale and him about what you're going to do on excises.
I am.
I'd sure make them stay out of the papers and tell them you hadn't even talked to me about it. But what's their view and how far are they willing to go? Now, this budget thing, you know what it looks like, don't you?
No.
$125 billion's what they're proposing.
Well, if we go into dimensions of that sort, there will have to be some monetary action, Mr. President. I'm convinced of that. The whole this thing, first thing...
They got it down as low as they dare to now after cutting $3 or $4 billion out of the request. And it's 118 or 19. But
well, I think if your spending rate and your deficit, let me put it this way, the thing I've had in my mind is that if the deficit goes beyond the 8, 9 billion level, well, I'd say the 8 billion level, you've got to very seriously entertain the prospect of some monetary action, not because the Federal Reserve wants it, but because you think it's desirable for the good of the country. With that kind of a deficit and the rate everything else is going, it's going to be just complete hell, I think, to hold these fellows down in any reasonable way without price controls. I've been holding off on making up my mind about it because I want to talk with Gardner and see what his reaction is. I think you will find, if you examine that staff report that we had the Federal Reserve fellow, Art Open, and our fellow here, and Charlie Schultz fellow work out, you'll get between the lines in there a feeling that if we've got a very major deficit of the sort we had in the Eisenhower period, that perhaps monetary action is justified. Now, I don't mean slamming on the brakes, but I mean something that tempers the wind. I think that you would have a lot of your own what I would call semi-liberal advisors who would ought to be consulted on this, who would feel that way. Just how many, I don't know. I don't know how Senator Douglas would feel. He might even feel that way. I'd want to talk this out with him. But my major point is nobody ought to be making up their minds about what we do in the way of putting restraints on the growth of private demand until they know what this budget really is and what we propose to do. For example, if the budget is of that order of magnitude, I would think we might want to defer the these excise taxes that are going off on telephone and other equipment. That's about $1.75 billion is scheduled to go off this early this year.
That's January, isn't it? What would you do? Just announce you're going to ask for postponement?
Yes, sir. I think this is one of the things we ought to consider, and I think it would also entail stretching out any of these new programs so that you start them with just a token.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. That's not what's really hurting us. What's really hurting us? You're $106 or $107 billion this year. That's already spent now. That's what that's going to be.
Yes.
Now then, you've got a new phase in Vietnam, and you've got to pay for the one that you really started. So you're going up another 8 or 10 there. So what does that give you? That gives you 118, right?
Yeah.
116, 17 there.
Well, you know, I set out at Chicago and early...
Then you put a billion or two in there.
Yeah.
for just built in, like the school bill, you got a formula, and they're already working on it, and each state's got it. So you can't change it. You've got the same thing on these interest rates and others. So if you just cut out everything, and the Great Society just really does nothing, you're
going to have
118.
Well, then I think
what they estimate that you're going to take in 105 or 6. What do your people say?
That's about what we think is going to come in terms of revenue, about 105, 106 on that kind of a scale of operation.
Well, then they think you can sell $3 billion worth. So that gives you 108. And if you get down to 118, that gives you a 10 deficit, which is less than his 12.
I want to look at those revenue estimates again in the light of this, because the high budget that I think they have been doing their calculating on, 57, contemplated only about 108 or 109. So I don't believe our computers, our revenue estimators, have had these figures that you're relating to me now.
Well, I don't think anybody has them except Schultz, and I don't think he's even thinking them out loud.
I've never heard.
He's been
holding this very, very close, because this is the first I have heard of anything that, beyond 108 or 109 projected.
What he's doing, he is taking their requests. Their requests are 125. He has taken three or four out that he can cut out that they'll just squeal like hell about. USIA, for instance, wants to expand in Southeast Asia, and he's holding them, and they're down here yesterday raising hell. But he's taking three or four out. That moves him down to 121. Then he just arbitrarily doesn't start any programs that ought to be started, and that takes another three or four. That gets him down to 118 to 19. And that's about what he thinks is what he can do without just having murder. And that doesn't include a pay raise that we're committed to this year for $500 million. That doesn't include some items that we just think that they'll shove over on us, like Corps of Engineers stuff. That doesn't include anything hardly there that's new or reclamation. But he thinks that, so I told him to go back and get it under 110. My guess is he'll finally wind up getting it around 115. And if, on the basis of 115, he can take in 107, I think it'd be a pretty good budget.
Yeah.
What would that do to your monetary revenue?
I don't want to prejudge it, but I think it, you would have to take a very, very hard look. And I think you'd probably tend to come down on the side of allowing Martin to go ahead in what I would call certainly a quarter to a half percent in raising the discount rate. Now, I think, in other words, we're looking at a situation in which we may find ourselves all coming out at pretty much the same place if he's reasonable and holds off until January, until he has this in front of him. I think that if he moves now, let's say a half point up on the discount rate, and then you have the budget come out, I think chances are they'd want to move a half again. So we ought to really try to hold him back now. One, because it's not the right way to operate. It's just not right for him to go ahead without knowing what the cards are. Number two, it makes the country feel that we're divided, and it makes the country feel that they're quarterbacks down here that one fellow's playing one game and one fellow's playing another, and as I told him the other day, the country is entitled to have of the assurance that the economic and financial policies are being determined by a sensible group of reasonable men sitting around together, pooling their knowledge and their information and their powers, and not divided. And I think the psychological effect of having us all move, when we move together, is a tremendous advantage to everyone.
Well, you talk to them, and how long are you going to be down there?
I'm going to be down there through tomorrow. I'll be back here in the office Tuesday afternoon. I've got to talk to the investment bankers and try to get them to help us out by promoting these sales of foreign securities more than they are doing. I have to do that Monday.
You have to do that Monday?
Yes, I'll be back here. No, it's Tuesday morning. I'm looking at my calendar. But I thought I was going to spend tomorrow morning with Russell. I'll spend the video of this evening with Hale, and then I've asked Russell to come down to New Orleans and visit with me all through tomorrow morning, because I wanted to kind of bring him up to date on everything, and we're going into a kind of struggle here. I'll need to have him pretty well briefed.
What kind of plane you got?
I just got an old Coast Guard plane.
What is it? I was just thinking y'all might come over and have dinner with me Monday.
That'd be wonderful.
Well, if you talk to Russell, if he can, and he or Hale wouldn't attract any too much attention, I'd send my Jetstar. It's not over an hour and a half. Just maybe it's just like going out to a French restaurant Monday afternoon over here. And
we come over. What? How are you fixed Monday lunchtime?
That's all right. You all want to, and y'all could visit coming over.
That's right.
You let me know.
Why don't I call you either this evening or first thing in the morning?
That's right. If I'm not here, talk to anybody here and tell them what you want to do. I'll see you anytime you want to. Bring Russell or.
Do you want me to bring Hale or bring both of them, or just bring one?
You be your own judge. The only trouble about Hale, McCormick throws his heels up.
Yeah.
He gets a little jealous.
I think Russell is more of a key here for this particular problem.
If you could, and just keep it quiet where he doesn't get in the papers on it, so he don't stir up a lot of troubles.
Well, and if I find he's tied up anyway, I just won't.
That's right.
I just won't do it at all.
Let me know if you want a plane or anything.
Right. I'll feel how it goes.
He can come stay all night tonight. You know, I'm going to be in Houston. Billy Graham's ceremony this afternoon at 4 or 5 o'clock, and I'll be back here about dark.
Well, we'll be with that. The press association is having a dinner tonight, so I'll be with them.
That's right. Well, you'll call me.
I'll call you in the morning.
All right.